Hello, Time Lords, Time Ladies, and Time Beings. I'd like to welcome you to the Nerdstravaganza Podcast 155 today, but the when is not as important as the who, as in Doctor Who. With the season premiere just months away, it seems like we're going to have a little longer to wait. And to get us through this Dalek-sized drought, without a time machine, we've invited some guests, Doctor Who style. They're the stellar cast from AM Audio Media, a fan project that makes dimensional spanning Doctor Who audio plays. But first, let's introduce the Ganza Gang. I'm Chris.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Cam.
I'm not Tom, I'm Brian.
Yeah.
And for our AM Audio Media guys.
This is Mike Tamburo. I'm the director of Doctor Who Dark Journey.
This is Paul Manns, an actor.
And this is Ricky Wright, also an actor.
Great. Well, the next thing we're going to do is our Geekly Weekly, Weekly Geekly, where we tell you the geeky things we've done throughout the week. So, Cam, what did you do?
Oh, man, I had a lot of geeky stuff on my plate this past week. It was my brother's birthday, so I headed up from our headquarters down here in South Florida up to Orlando. It was a three-hour drive, but it was well worth it. Took him out for his birthday. That wasn't too geeky. We just did the normal bar thing. But the very next day, which was Saturday, was Free Comic Book Day, which was awesome. So by the time he was up and sort of shaken out of his hangover, we hit four or five different comic book shops. We're able to pick up pretty much every title between the two of us. So we had, you know, pretty much everything that came out for Free Comic Book Day by the end of the day. We then quickly hit the movie theater and saw Avengers Age of Ultron, which I loved. And then we rounded out the night by heading to an establishment in Orlando called the Cloak and Blaster, which is a video and board gaming pub for geeks. I mean, it even says that on the on the big sign on top of the pub, a gaming pub for geeks, and which was amazing. I posted some pictures on the website and on the Nerdstravaganza Facebook page. Had an absolute great time. Did some gaming. Had some great food. It was a great place. I would recommend it to anyone in the Orlando area. Then got taken for $100 like pretty much everyone else in the country, cause we ordered the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, which was a bust. And then, the next day on Sunday, spent an amazing time at Epcot, one of my favorite parks at Disney. Had an amazing time there and, then had to unfortunately come back to Earth and, head back down south Sunday night for work on Monday. But yeah, it was a pretty packed geekly weekly weekend, and I had a great time.
Great. You know, I'm going to Orlando in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to have to definitely check out that pub.
Yeah, Cloak and Blaster. It's amazing.
So, Brian, how was your week?
Same for me, kind of. It was a pretty busy Saturday. Free Comic Book Day is one of my favorite days of the year, and we have kind of an unofficial Nerdstravaganza event where just as many people as I can gather travel from shop to shop to shop. A little small this year, I guess. We forgot to really plan a whole lot, but well, you know, you were there.
Exactly.
And April, who pops up quite a lot on the show and in the groups and page, was there, and we went from Tate's to Past, Present, Future to Tijuana Flats, which has become the unofficial Nerdcast lunch spot, and then over, I think, back to Tate's for you, wasn't it? You picked up somebody.
Yep.
And then off to Zaldiva's in Fort Lauderdale for all the free comic books I could want. I didn't quite make out all of them, but anything that was interesting.
Great. So what about you, Paul?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned I was actually in the west of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the geekiest thing I did, and this is true, was I went into a Goodwill shop, which mm-hmm. they're huge down there. I can't believe it. But anyway, I found this huge Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I was going through the vinyl record, and I found on vinyl, this is ridiculous, the soundtrack to the original Muppet movie. Yeah. And then as I kept flipping through, the Great Muppet Caper.
Oh.
So that was the two things that
That's pretty geeky.
I picked up. It is pretty geeky. Yeah, I haven't played them yet, but I will.
All that you need now is a record player.
That's right.
That would be perfect.
I need. I've just put them on my wall. Yeah. But
they're
anyway,
shiny.
They're shiny.
Yeah, it's like you have gold records, but they're black.
Yes.
Yeah, and they have pictures of Muppets on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would, I'd say, be up there. I'd say might trump anybody else.
I like the non-conventional nerdism because Muppets don't get brought up a whole lot anymore. I dig that.
No. Now, I'm going to throw this out there to you guys, to the host of Nerd Extravaganza. Is everything open now for being a nerd? It seems like you can be a nerd about anything, about
I don't know.
Thundercats, the Muppets, Star Wars. It's all open now, it seems like.
I didn't see a lot of, like, when we were at Toronto Comic Con,
yeah.
I didn't see any Muppet references at all.
No, I didn't either.
So maybe that wouldn't qualify, but I don't know. There must be some kind of a dark alleyway.
Yeah.
That would be for, you know, Muppet cosplay or something
like
that.
Could you be a nerd for, like, some, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Is there, like, a nerd genre for that? Because I love that show.
I don't know. That's pretty highbrow.
It's a little bit highbrow.
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, one of the highlights I heard for Star Wars Celebration was the Muppet cosplay.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
That would be something else.
It's all the same families.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Gonzo Boba Fett.
No, it was Gonzo Darth Vader. That is the tradition.
Oh, that's right. Gonzo played Darth. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
mm-hmm.
that.
Because nobody will know who he is.
No. And there was that horrible Muppets in Space, which really had very little to do with space.
Yeah, there
or
was.
Or that being in space.
There was Muppets in Space.
Yeah.
There was that amazing, actually, I remember now, it's all coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
go ahead, because this is a podcast about the Muppets. So go,
right.
Go ahead, Paul.
Do you remember the Muppet episode where they had Mark Hamill?
Of course I do.
And Chewbacca, they had like the whole cast from Star Wars. There you go, yeah. And I guess that was the episode where Gonzo was Darth Vader. Definitely nerdy somewhere in there.
Totally, sure. Totally. Yeah.
What Speaking about you, of, Mike? Let's go down the line and see who else had a Geekly Weekly.
Mike.
Yeah, I had a Geekly Weekly. I went down for Free Comic Book Day, and I got myself a free comic book. I was a little bit disappointed, though, because I think I got there too late, and I got, like, I think I got the leftover free comics. So they were kind of like amalgamated, like, you know, leftovers, I think. Yeah.
You sure they weren't the kids' menus from Jack Astor's?
Maybe that's what it was, maybe, yeah. So I had kind of a disappointing kind of Geekly week. What about you, Ricky?
Over the last week or so, I've actually been doing some fairly geeky stuff. I did some voiceover stuff for a Star Wars audio drama. Where I played Admiral Tarkin. Interesting. And then I'm sure this must qualify as some kind of geekiness. I've done some voiceovers for a Skyrim mod, a Discworld Skyrim mod, where I played a bunch of characters in there, including the librarian.
Fantastic.
Wow. That's cool.
And I also had the displeasure of watching the Pacquiao fight on Saturday. that you could call it a fight.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's funny we should mention Muppets. I'm sat here in my Muppet underwear right now.
What a coincidence. Me too.
That's not Gonzo, is it?
It wasn't supposed to be.
Oh, jeez.
He went there. He went there.
I was given the Gonzo reference. I couldn't let it slide. my friend Gonzo is not here right now, but yeah, yay!
Pretty good, Gonzo. Hey,
oh, I think that was a really great Gonzo.
Hey, who's doing the fish guy? I think.
Yeah, it was the fish guy.
Oh, my name is Lou Zealand. I throw these fish away, and they come back to me.
All right, so we're going to spin it up another gear, and we're going to get into the news extravaganza. So what's the news you've got this week, Cam?
Let's see. George Lucas is once again trying to destroy another one of my childhood favorite movies and is in the early stages of making a fifth Indiana Jones. As if they haven't milked that cow or banged that drum enough. What else? Speaking of Boba Fett, it's official. He's getting his own Star Wars movie in 2018. Sort of a running joke for us guys here at Nerd Extravaganza, because we are baffled that such a minor character has become so popular over the years. But apparently he warrants a 2018 movie, feature film. One of my favorite things, grilled meat, is getting a green alternative. Go Sun Solar has come out with a barbecue grill that runs completely off the sun and can even work at night. It has a battery, and you can grill meat at all hours of the day without propane or any other fossil fuels. That's pretty cool. I'm sure you guys have seen that annoying age-guessing software from Microsoft that people are putting on Facebook and all over the place. Have you guys seen that over the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's a sinister side to that. This whole free age guessing game that they threw out that everyone's using is pretty much just a beta test for Microsoft for them to integrate this system into their parental controls, so that if a kid wants to go on the web and play a video game or look at a website or do whatever, the facial software is going to be like, nope, sorry, you're too young. And just basically block them. I mean, I guess some would say that's a good thing, but I can see all kinds of problems with that.
It's funny, actually. A friend of mine posted one of those with a picture of her and her daughter together.
Yeah.
And it guessed the ages where the daughter was significantly older than the mother.
Yeah.
And the daughter's only 8.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I think they need quite a bit of refinement before they can go anywhere near that.
Yeah. I guess
so. And, last but not least, I'm sure everyone on here probably, and most of our listeners have a PayPal account, I would think, right?
Yep.
There is a new website called PayIvy, and not that I'm promoting this kind of thing, but apparently you can buy compromised PayPal accounts with your PayPal account. As well as stolen goods, stolen digital goods, Netflix passwords, Hulu passwords, Minecraft accounts, anything you want can be purchased, with your own PayPal account, if you care to venture onto payivy.com.
You have to give them your password.
I think that's the prerequisite. So you pretty much get what you pay for there. And with that rounds out my news.
What about you, Brian?
I only have one bit of news, but it's such spectacular news. I think it makes up for it. One of my favorite series just of all time is coming back to television for two new seasons, Red Dwarf.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
I love that series.
Are they going to have the cat?
They are, I guess he...
Is this BBC or is this American?
No, it's BBC. It's the original. It's going to be on Channel Dave, which means nothing to me, but...
It's where all good TV shows go to die.
Is it going to be like a complete reboot, or what are they doing?
It looks like they're kind of pulling a Star Trek, like they're continuing the storyline, but doing a lot of like weird changes to it. So not really a reboot, but it looks like they're introducing new characters. And the last time I saw Red Dwarf, everybody was dead. So I'm not really sure how they get out of that.
So we'll rate that as a cautiously optimistic one then.
I think if you know what Red Dwarf is, your expectations are set. And if you're, the cautiously optimistic type, you probably don't watch it very much.
Well, Craig Charles, I think, is now washed up from Coronation Street, so he's obviously looking to line his pockets again.
I'm just happy it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, Paul, what's your news item?
Well, finally, they're going to make a sequel to Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal.
Which nice.
Is, kind of huge news. They've been planning it for years, and... They couldn't get a director. They had directors come in, they had directors leave, but this is something that they're finally, I know I'm going back to the Muppets reference, but, that it's just
not really the Muppets.
It's not really the Muppets
property, but yeah.
That's right. It's an offshoot. It's sort of his first avenue into,
now let me ask you this, Paul. Now you're like the Muppets expert. So,
well, Are they doing this Dark Crystal with the Dark Crystal language? I understand they were supposed to do it, the original Dark Crystal, in a weird, like, Muppet language.
Yeah, no, in the original Dark Crystal, Jim Henson actually wrote different languages, like a language for the Skeksis, a language for the Gelflings. And the executive said, no, we can't basically release, like, a foreign subtitled fantasy film.
Yeah.
So they redubbed it.
That would be ridiculous. A movie about puppets and they have their own language.
Exactly.
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy. Well, just like people, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care for foreign film myself, but
well, Muppet film kind of counts as foreign film.
It does. It does. But anyway, now they're finally getting, their act together.
Awesome.
And the Jim Henson Company's gonna pursue it.
Yeah.
More readily.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about you, Mike?
Well, I was downtown and I was talking to some of my theater contacts and they're actually doing a live version in Toronto, believe it or not, of He-Man, a live theater action version of He-Man. But it's not a children's drama. It's like a big live, like kind of like almost like it's got like a Game of Thrones kind of vibe to it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about now. I don't know. I've been talking to people and it doesn't. I don't know. I'm a little bit unsure of this. I mean, this is like a children's property.
No,
they're trying to kind of sexed it up, and the tickets are going to be crazy. It's going to be like in the hundreds of dollars to go and see this. Apparently, there's some big names attached to this. So
I also heard that they had to use the Princess of Wales Theatre in Toronto to mount this initial production because it actually has more depth, and they don't have the depth in, say, the New York theaters or the London theaters. And strangely enough, the Princess of Wales accommodates this for like the experimental.
What do you mean the depth?
A stage needs depth. In order to have, you know, very deep scenery and, you know, so like,
or to have like a drop-off area where the puppeteers could like hide behind
and
like pull their Muppets up and put them up top. It's always back to the Muppets with this guy. I swear to God.
You're the one who took it back to the Muppets.
I know that's where you were going with it. So
I was.
I just let it go where it went. Okay. That's our news.
What about you, Ricky?
Well, I don't know whether this classes as geeky news or nerdy news, but I was reading online the other day about some drones that they've now got flying around checking out people's mobile devices and identifying what they're looking at and what they're doing with the devices so that they can actually send targeted advertising directly to your phone based on where you're geographically located. I thought that was kind of interesting. Wow. So as you walk past that comic book store, boom, there's the ad for the comic book store. Pops up, your phone vibrates, and in you go. Right now, there's a big sort of legal debate over whether this is an invasion of privacy and all that kind of stuff. And they said, well, hey, it doesn't matter because we're only in beta testing right now. So we're not actually physically pushing anything out to your devices. So we think we're okay.
You know, that'd work well for other things, like for vaccine testing and stuff as well, you know, like, doesn't matter if we're putting the public at risk, this vaccine may cause birth defects, but we're just testing.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
I just
mean, like,
seeing images of Minority Report in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who wants to see that? I mean, Tom Cruise? Blah.
Yeah. Well, and to wrap up, it seems like Joss Whedon has quit Twitter for a while. Well, it turns out that some defenders of intolerance have become intolerant of people. Some people are not happy with the development of Black Widow in the Avengers and are basically they twittered, you know, threats of violence, allegedly death threats, though I didn't see anything in the stuff I was reading about it. So at some point, you know, Mr. Whedon, I don't think it's the first time he's quit Twitter, but I mean, basically he took time off from the internet. After, you know, having people be kind of rude to him. So,
over Black Widow, though?
Over Black Widow, yes.
I mean, I could see if it was, you know, Thor, I don't know, Iron Man, but you gotta be some kind of asshole to make a death threat over Black Widow.
Well, long story short, some people were they were really waiting for Black Widow's dark secrets and Red Ledger to be balanced. And then when they found out, and I'm paraphrasing and moving into here, that her main storyline was basically being a love interest and being upset that she couldn't have children, you know, some people just kind of went off on that being not exactly progressive as they wanted it to be.
That's ridiculous. And anyone who wants to send me a death threat, nerdstravaganza@gmail.com, please feel free.
Okay. So, after all that craziness, let's recap by introducing our guests again.
Hey, everybody. This is M.A. Timber. I'm the director of Doctor Who Dark Journey.
Hi, this is Paul May. I'm an actor in the Doctor Who Dark Journey AM audio media production.
And this is Ricky Wright, also an actor in Doctor Who Dark Journey, and everything from... Oh, I almost gave away a couple of spoilers there. But I think you may see some Daleks appearing in Season 2.
Indeed, indeed.
So, with you guys helping out with our drought of Doctor Who, let's take a sneak peek at Dark Journey.
Hello, Stonehenge! Who takes the Pandorica? Takes the universe. But bad news, everyone. Ha! Because guess who? Listen, you lot, you're all whizzing about.
It's really very distracting.
Could you all just stay still a minute? I am talking! Now, the question of the hour is, who's got the Pandorica? Answer, I do. Next question. Who's coming to take it from me? Come on, look at me. No plan, no backup, no weapons. Oh, and something else I don't have. Anything to lose. So if you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceships with all your silly little guns, and you've got any plans on taking the Pandorica tonight, just remember who's standing in your way. Remember every black day I ever stalked you. And then, do the smart thing. Let somebody else try first.
Well, that was an exciting trailer.
Thank you.
So how long did that take to do to put that kind of together?
23 years.
we have our TARDIS on hand, so we're all set up. It felt like 23 years. You're right. Yeah. It's been several months of post-production after recording. So I would say a few months to put all that together. Yeah.
Well, for the listeners, why don't you sum it up? Sum up the whole project in 60 seconds, if you could.
Sure. It's so Doctor Who Dark Journey is a free audio drama. It's a full cast audio drama, and it's a fan production. And we've taken elements of Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes and mushed them together in an exciting story with Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes on the trail of Jack the Ripper in 18th century London, England. Free on our website.
Yeah, I don't see how you can go wrong with any of those things, especially all put together. And what's the website?
The website's amaudiomedia.com, and if you look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, we're on there as well. It's completely free to download, and we have 5 exciting episodes that are already posted online, and that's our Series 1, and we're shortly releasing Series 2 of Dark Journey, featuring Paul Thomas Mann and Ricky Wright.
Amazing. And Ricky, how was your experience on the project?
Well, I guess I get the easier end of the stick. I mean, you know, I sit in a smelly, hot room for a few hours, and then I leave these guys to it for the next, you know, 3-4 months to make it sound better than it did. It's been a blast. Getting involved in Season 1 was kind of cool, and then when I got the call back for Season 2 to come and do some dark journey. Stuff all over again. It was quite an exciting moment. So then, like I said, spending some time in a warmer than it perhaps should have been room, you know, because you're recording and you try and keep the ambient noise down. So no air conditioning,
right.
You know, all the windows are covered in cloth to keep the ambient noise out. And, that room turns into somewhat of a pressure cooker.
Yep, all that padding that deadens the sound becomes insulation.
Correct. And, there's a certain sort of funk and festering going on in that room.
That's when the Gonzo underwear comes into play.
That's it, yeah. He pops out for a drink.
still makes me wonder if, like, trying to do voice work in South Florida would just be, you just get heat stroke.
Yeah, it gets a little warm down here.
I'm sure some people are kind of curious about why an audio drama versus other fan projects, but I think audio dramas have a special connection to Doctor Who, right?
Yeah, very much so. Audio dramas kind of kept Doctor Who going after the initial cancellation in 87. There was a series of books called Doctor Who, The New Adventures, which were quite popular. And shortly after those launched, within maybe, I would say probably 10 years of, well, people were doing fan productions, of course, but then there was Big Finish Productions, which got the license from the BBC to actually do proper canon Doctor Who with the original Doctors, with Paul McGann, Colin Baker, Peter Davidson, later on Tom Baker. And so that kind of kept Doctor Who fandom going in a very, very real way. So yeah, I think that, the audio dramas are sort of, in a lot of ways, similar to the Star Wars Expanded Universe, where you've got all these different characters and different universes and different realities all going on all at once. And a Doctor Who has a much, much looser canon than pretty much any sci-fi property. I think you can have all kinds of things happening. People are dead and they're back in another audio drama or in a book. There's alternate timelines. None of it really makes any sense. But then again, it's all about a guy traveling around in a little blue box. So, you know, you can let a lot of it go, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, a little fun fact that some of the listeners might not know, Paul McGann actually only appeared in two on-screen TV episodes or movies as the Doctor, but he is actually the most prolific Doctor in terms of actual projects he's done. If you add in all the stories, novels, novellas, audio, plays, whatever it is, that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, he was actually the official Doctor from, I think, whenever the TV movie was, which I think was 96, 97, something around there, until the relaunch. They didn't really, there was like an actual official, the BBC like issued a press release saying that he was no longer the Doctor when it was Eccleston's turn to take over. So he had actually one of the longest time frames as well of actually being that character, if you will. And you're right about the books and the audios, definitely.
He had a long run.
Yeah, and I mean, his audio stuff is excellent. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Big Finish stuff, and Paul McGann is one of my favorites. I mean, he could read from a phone book, and it's exciting. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I still want to know what he's done. It doesn't look like he's aged a day from the movie.
No, not at all.
Though some days I still wonder whether or not I should admit the movie exists or not.
You don't like the movie?
I don't know. It wasn't that bad.
There's elements to it that work, and there's elements that don't work. Ricky, did you like the TV movie?
Can I abstain from answering that question?
Okay. All right. Now, Paul, I think I know that your answer on this. You've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were no Muppets in it.
And that's why I never would have seen it.
Yeah.
Well, don't feel too bad. Brian is not exactly huge on the Doctor Who either. I'm outing him right now.
Okay. All right. That's okay. That's all right. We'll make him a fan. Let him listen to Dark Journey and he'll become either a Doctor Who fan or a Sherlock Holmes fan. So one of the two.
Well, I'm kind of a fan, but I just came too late. And now, you know, what is it, 23 years to catch up?
You can kind of jump in at any time. And I mean, you know, and enjoy any of the Doctors or any of the audios or books or whatever. Because as I said, they're not really all that, there's not that much continuity between all of them, actually. They all contradict each other, actually, so.
Yeah, Doctor Who is a wonderful place to not fret the continuity.
Yeah. Which is actually pretty liberating, I think, for the series, because they're not trapped by anything. So they can really go back and just take on the Daleks or take on, you know, a different monster or a different issue and take their own spin on it and not worry too much about whether they've kind of tread on that area before, because they've tread on every area before, so. Yeah, except for, of course, meeting Sherlock Holmes, which only happens in what audio play, Paul? What audio play is that?
Dark Journey.
Dark Journey, with no Muppet, unfortunately.
Damn it.
You don't Muppet free.
Ricky, yeah. Do you think we should do our next project should maybe be a Muppet audio drama? What do you think?
I think we can still go with season 3 and rock Dark Journey into Jim Henson's kind of world.
I like that. A Dark Crystal Journey.
Yeah, or we could infuse the labyrinth, get some David Bowie in there. Yeah.
David's Bowie.
Actually, Paul, it's funny that you mentioned that. We had, guys, we had some fan art done for Dark Journey because it's a very much a collaborative kind of project. So, you know, we've got actors involved and sound designers and artists as well. And an artist in the UK put together a really fantastic illustration for us. And our doctor, Andrew Chalmers, he actually looks a lot like David Bowie in it. It's really weird.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at it in a certain light. Very freaky.
So how has technology, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, really helped pull off these kind of fan projects?
Well, I think it's allowed a lot of people to, create their actual, whatever it is that they're doing. So whether it's their, fan-made title sequence, or whether it's a fan film or a fan audio drama, because of the software that's available now and the cameras and microphones all being so readily available and economic to purchase, it's led to them being out there. And then there's also platforms for those things to exist on. So, you know, 5, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, things like YouTube, iTunes, they didn't exist. So even if you'd have made these fan projects, there would have been no way to distribute them, really. I mean, going back in the day, back in the 80s, and yeah, I would say the 80s, there was the audio visuals, which were doing fan Doctor Who out of the UK. And they were actually doing everything on cassette tape. So they would record similar way to what we've done with Dark Journey, with fans doing the recording, the writing, the editing, and everything. They put all together, cut all together on reel-to-reel tape, convert it down to audio cassette, and then sell the audio cassettes at conventions. So it's come a long way in, 20 years. I mean, we're essentially doing the same thing as those audio dramas were in the early days. And I hope making those same connections with fans who are, enjoying it and taking part in what we're doing. But we've got that added benefit of the modern technology to get that out there to a lot of eyeballs, earballs. Is that a thing? Earballs. Yeah.
If it isn't, you just made it one.
Earballs.
Yeah, I remember back in those days, the only time you could see anything is if you were actually at a convention, they were like, oh, here's a fan project you can watch in the media room.
Right, yeah.
And that was pretty much the only way you could see anything another fan was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember people were like mailing VHS tapes and stuff to each other. I mean, there was a way, but I mean, not the same way that it is now. I mean, you can post something one night and the next morning it's got millions and millions of hits. So around the world as well. And that's the weird thing too that like we found with Dark Journey. I mean, when we initially started, we weren't sure, well, is anybody going to listen to this? Like where we put it? What do we do with it? But once you start posting on different platforms like iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher and all these different places, people start finding it from all kinds of places. We actually have a really big following in Japan. It's like our second most downloaded country. So yeah, we're number two in Japan.
Do you think that's part of the boys next door effect? You know, where a local band, when they're in their hometown, nobody really listens to them because, hey, that's Bob. I grew up with him. I graduated with him. But three towns over, suddenly they're huge because they're the out of towners that have that really great sound.
Yeah, I think that could be a part of it. I mean, being in Canada, there is a very kind of, reverse, I don't know, what would you call it? So the tall poppy syndrome, where
people here, I don't know what it is, don't recognize the talent that is right in front of them, kind of thing. It sort of has to be validated by an exterior source.
Yeah, an external American source as well.
Well, most often, yeah. In order for it to become recognized within Canada, where I think maybe it's a little different elsewhere. I don't know.
So I think what Paul is trying to say is now that we've been on your podcast, we're set. We're like, we're multi-millionaires. I think we're going to be rolling in it.
That's it.
And that's why we're here.
Superstar fandom. Ricky, get ready to sign some autographs.
I'll have to buy a new pen. Can you send me a check?
I'll book the tickets to Japan.
Woo!
Write it all off as a business trip. Sort of.
It is a business trip.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know how, I apologize, I don't know how long fan-based audio plays have been a thing, for the past few years, but I do know that in the writing biz, fan fiction has become almost another career track to getting to being a published author. Has doing, you know, fan-based audio dramas helped out people getting where they needed to go professionally?
Yeah, in the past it has. I mean, definitely everyone who was involved, or not everyone, but a lot of the people, the key people that were involved in the early days of the audio visuals, which was the cassette fan production I was talking about earlier, a lot of those people went on to write Doctor Who novels and television, write for the actual series, write for Big Finish and work for Big Fish. Actually, Nicholas Briggs, who does the current voice of the Daleks on the TV series, started out doing just that, doing fan productions, and he was writing them, directing them. He played the Doctor, actually, in them, and the Daleks. And yeah, he's moved on to other things as well. So, and I think too, you do see fandom crossing over into, you know, the lines are starting to blur. The current Doctor Who title sequence was actually based on a fan design.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah, the word is that apparently Stephen Moffat or someone associated with the production saw this and they said this is really good, and they contacted the guy and basically redid it. I think the original one was actually better than the television one, actually, if you compare the two side by side. But it's pretty exciting to see fans crossing over into that. And I mean, really, at the end of the day, I mean, what is the difference between a fan production and a proper production? Money, I guess, but you know, it's all about the quality at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I'd like to even throw more of a prop, because I think our current embarrassment of riches for superheroes and science fiction is because the fans are now taking over in a professional capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. Abrams is probably the poster child for that.
Right, right.
You know, people that are talented, that have a love for the material. I mean, you know, especially back in the day, if the TV and the movie guy said, oh, hey, it's a comic book, let's not even bother trying to do anything remotely passionate about it. Let's just crank it out and get some money from those idiots.
Right, yeah. I think, too, that's what Disney, I mean, a lot of people want to slag off Disney for being, you know, too commercial and all this kind of stuff, which, I mean, they have to be. They are commercial. They're there to make money. They do a really good job at taking properties that already exist and accentuating all the really great elements of it, leaving the kind of not-so-great stuff behind. And, I mean, like, look at what they've done with the Avengers and, you know, and the Muppets, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Star Wars, I don't think that we'll be let down by Star Wars either. I think they've got too much riding on it for it not to be awesome.
Well, I remember talking to somebody, and they were bemoaning that, oh, Disney has Star Wars. Now it's just going to be completely commercial and merchandise. And I said, buddy, you're about 20 years too late. Why don't you talk to this guy named Gary Kurtz, who, mm-hmm. when he was talking to George and George kept mentioning Ewoks, he said, you want Ewoks for the toys, don't you? And George said, yes. And the guy said, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm not producing Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And Ewoks, do they count as Muppets, Paul?
They're in the same sphere.
Okay.
They're not directly related. They're like a distant cousin, third cousin.
Would they be canon? Are they Muppet canon? Or?
No, they're not Muppet.
They're non-canon.
No, they're not.
They're like extended Muppets extended universe.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because really they're just midgets in suit.
Okay.
Well, according to Tom and Crow Robot, doesn't hands plus feet equal costume?
Yeah. Hands plus feet equals costume. Hand up backside of puppet equals Muppet in most cases.
It's true because it rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky, you got any thoughts? You're kind of quiet there, buddy.
Just trying to get a word in edgeways. Yeah, I think like you were leaning towards earlier that, you know, just the quality of the stuff that fans are producing these days is just, you can listen to a good story, and you can listen to a good story told well, and you can listen to a good story told well with poor production, and you turn it off. So I think the access to technology and the access to all these tools and things that makes, putting these fan productions together in as professional a way as you can. I think that's really where this is, I think this is really where it's starting to, take shape. And I think, as Mike was saying as well, just the platform to get these fan audios and fan dramas and all this other stuff out there. It's just phenomenal. I mean, I don't know where we go from here. I mean, this could very well be, a turning point in the, in the entertainment world, that, fans can produce as good quality stuff as some of the big, the big picture houses. And, and now they, there are all these mechanisms for actually getting these audio dramas or whatever it might be in front of people. And I think that's something that, has not been as prevalent in the past. But I mean, you've only got to look at the multitude of different, websites where you've got tons of different, locations where you can post your content, and people are looking at this stuff and people are enjoying it and sharing it around, and, and it's inspiring people to go on and do their own things as well. So, it's kind of perpetuating itself.
So as an industry insider, Ricky, do you think there's going to be a point where the name franchise is even more literal, that you can do fan-based audio dramas, and as long as the big company gets its cut of the pie, they're happy for you guys to rock and roll?
Well, I mean, we live in a commercial world, so I mean, as long as somebody's getting their cut of the pie, then I don't see that. And as long as the brand is not being devalued by poor productions, I think absolutely you'll see some of this stuff starting to happen. And, take Dark Journey, for example, there's been a lot of time and effort and put into this, and the quality, as I'm sure anybody who's listened to it will testify, is very, very high. You wouldn't think for a minute that, this has been put together by a bunch of kids, bunch of amateurs, whatever you want to call it. You can tell that there are people who, know what they're doing, have put a great product together, but without the official capacity to go on and sort of market that, then there's a limited amount of runway for this and to keep something like this going, which I think is only good for the actual franchises themselves, because it brings in new fans, it brings in a new audience, and it keeps people going through the gaps. So, between, season 8 and season 9, what do we do? Well, there's all these fan dramas, and, it gets people not just listening to them, but also talking about them. And it's, again, like I said, it's only good for the franchise itself. So I think at some point there's got to be a mechanism for taking that, franchise name and being able to use it and then, a portion off some money back to that particular franchise itself.
I'm going to go on record right now that I am the originator of the term franchise, and I'm going to be filing for the copyright tomorrow. So all rights reserved, Nerd Travaganza. Copyright patent pending.
If you copyright that, though, is that in keeping with the meaning of the word?
No, but I want to make some money.
See, we need this American know-how. This is what we need.
Exactly. I'm a big bad corporate lawyer, so that's what we do.
Isn't there some two celebrity wannabes that are literally trademarking their first names, Karen and something else with a K?
Really?
Which celebrities?
It's somewhere in the Kardashian sphere of
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know if they are Kardashians. It's just that kind of like, we're rich, we're pretty, we have a huge internet following sort of thing.
But so, they're not pretty.
I hope they fall off a cliff.
A couple of them look like they already have. Especially that swelling in the rear.
Yeah, right.
That is safety equipment, sir.
Yeah.
Cushion for pushing.
Flotation devices.
Exactly. And airbags, all rolled into one. So since we just recently saw some sneak peek pictures at one of the Doctor Who episodes, what do you guys think is going to go on for season 2 of the new Doctor?
Well, I understand that Macy, is it Williams from
Game of Thrones? Absolutely.
Yeah, I would see probably her becoming a companion, I think. I think that she is a really popular actress right now, so I could see her joining the crew permanently. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Clara. I can't see them extending her anymore beyond the next season, but I don't know how they've kept her going this long, actually, but so I would think that they'd be sort of planning and plotting out that. I would also think that they're going to have to resolve, or it'd be great if they did resolve the Gallifrey mystery, and we find out what's happened with Gallifrey. Is it there or not? I understand we're going to see a lot more Missy this year. There was some rumor of her actually traveling in the TARDIS with the Doctor, which has been an idea which has been explored in the books actually, and in the BBC web series. It was like a web cartoon series called the Shaka Doctor, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It was a Flash episode back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on your Flash player, and they kind of played with that idea there. I'm not sure how that would work if you could have her. She's quite a big character. I know she's coming back for the first part and for possibly more. I'm not sure if you could have her traveling around with a Doctor. I think that might get a bit much, but who knows? Who knows? Paul?
Muppets.
Muppets.
If there actually is a puppet or Muppet in this next season, I am so going to laugh my ass off.
I think that would be amazing if Maisie Williams became the companion, the next companion.
Yeah, fantastic,
And I think it might be a stroke of genius on the BBC's part because, they sort of attracted all these younger tween viewers with the, hunky hipster sort of Doctors, Matt Smith and David Tennant. But then, I think casting Capaldi sort of turned some of them off. So that might reattract those younger viewers back to, someone around their age. And I'm kind of interested in seeing the dynamic, between Capaldi and Williams. I think it would be pretty good. What's his name? Moffat has gone on record. So, they've been pretty tight-lipped about what her role is actually going to be. But he's definitely said that she's going to push the Doctor's limits. So who knows? And I want to see Clara dead anyway, so.
Really?
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Yeah, I'm not a Clara fan at all.
No, me neither.
All I was going to say was, you're going to replace somebody you don't like with, probably one of the most annoying characters in Game of Thrones.
Really? Oh no, Arya is amazing.
Not annoying. It's adorable.
Yeah. Second.
Oh, give over.
Oh no.
Well, I'm going to go kind of old school and say, and wonder if they had such a pairing, wouldn't that kind of echo back to the companion Ace in whichever Doctor that was?
Yeah, Ace and I think it was Sylvester McCoy. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that one I knew. I didn't know which number he was.
Yeah, that would be cool. And like I said, I think it would really probably re-energize that younger fan base that sort of lacking now. It might be a little creepy though. An old guy traveling around with the teen in a box, but I think, BBC can overcome that.
Well, the very first one was traveling around with his granddaughter.
Yeah, but it's familial relation.
What would really make this series exciting would be to bring on two school teachers, I think. Maybe a science teacher. And a re-energized series.
Yeah, slash soldier.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
It does a little bit, yeah.
Actually, when you said school teacher, I thought you were going all the way back again to the first Doctor.
I was, actually. I was. That was my little hint there, yeah. Get Ian Chesterton back in there.
Oh, so the male companion for the first Doctor was a teacher and a soldier as well?
He was just a teacher.
I was talking about Danny Pink, but yeah.
Okay, I got you. Well, that's the funny thing. They did kind of go back to that dynamic with Danny and with Clara, although I don't think they really played it out as much as they could have, that school teacher vibe. Some people thought they went too much in that direction. I didn't think so. I kind of liked all the Earthbound stuff and the romance and the reality that those characters brought to it. I thought they brought it all to an end, though, far too abruptly, just when I was starting to like Clara and kind of identify with her. They made her an old woman, and then she wasn't an old woman, and then I've given up on Clara now. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel
I'm back in Clara hating camp.
Yep.
I was okay with that, but for me, the big question mark was this doctor who had been a soldier back in the day now suddenly had a very anti-soldier bias. Maybe he was trying to pull off an anti-war bias, but it seemed more like a anti-soldier bias. And then he had this kind of arc where he goes back to liking soldiers by the time, spoilers, you know, Mr. Pink is no longer with us.
Mm.
That was the thing that I kind of found a little odd.
I think it was more of a gaining of respect for Danny than anything else, but yeah, I mean, that was a little odd.
I'm not sure how well played that was. But yeah, that switch from hating soldiers to appreciating them, and then the very, very strange kind of salute to Nicholas Courtney, who played the Brigadier, at the end of turning him into a Cyberman and
right.
daughter. It was all very sort of out of the blue, and then the doctor saluting him, I thought that all went a bit too far and didn't really make sense, I think, for the character.
Well, especially when you sort of look back at Tennant and Smith even, and they saluted several times, as I can remember. I couldn't point you to the exact episodes, but I know they did.
It didn't seem forceful when they did it. It just yeah. didn't seem right. I don't know if it was the way that they did it or something about it just didn't seem natural.
Right.
Yeah, that was part of my thing. It just seemed like a manufactured arc to some degree, because it wasn't just Mr. Pink and the lack of respect for him. It was like every soldier he was bumping into, he got on his high horse real quick.
Yeah, and I did like the idea that they initially threw in there of the Doctor being given all the power, being made president of Earth.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun, but they didn't really play with that for very long, longer than maybe 20 minutes, I think. So it's... I think I really like Moffat and all of his ideas and everything. I love all this stuff, but it just seems like there's too much on the plate sometimes. And you can't really take time to digest it all. Everything's just idea, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to let those things breathe. And as you were saying, I mean, let the story arc kind of unroll, you know, naturally.
Well, the Master got more time being the Prime Minister than the Doctor got as president.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, like, he just, like, was so, like, oblivious to, yeah, it's you, buddy, you're the president, yeah. But what did you guys think, and of spoilers again, obviously, what did you guys think of Missy being the Master?
I didn't buy it.
How come?
I don't know. It just seemed too forced. It seemed like they did it just to try to be different, but you know, the Master is the Master.
Right. And Ricky, I agree with you. So like to a T, it felt so forced. And I think, again, going back to, my American ingenuity, I think it was probably a suit somewhere that said, you know what? Everyone's calling for a female doctor. We're not going to do that, but let's make the Master a female. And so at least there is a female Time Lord precedent, and that will maybe sort of placate some of the, you know, people calling for that. I mean, that might be me being a little bit cynical, but I don't know. It did feel very forced.
No, I think that's very likely what happened, you know, just somebody trying to placate some of the naysayers and trying to get some of this feminine equality back.
Right.
I'm still of the conspiracy theory that the reason we have an older doctor now is they're trying to give the old fans something before they try to do something much more daring with the character on its next reincarnation.
Well, I still fully believe Idris Elba is going to end up the doctor at some point.
That would be amazing.
I mean, he does everything else, right? Why not the doctor too? He's going to be Bond, I think, and then now the Doctor, why not?
I'll be one of the first guys in line for that Bond film.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
I'm looking forward to the Mary Poppins reboot, starring a man.
Starring Sly Stallone.
Yeah, he's good. He's
Super
he's got
Super
a big
Kenneth Reginiferman.
Take it. It has got a spoon full of sugar.
He's got a wide range.
Remember the movie with Hulk Hogan, Mr. Nanny?
Yes. Sure. Unfortunately.
Oh, classic. It just needed some Muppets. It would have been perfect.
Now, when we were at Comic-Con, the Dark Journey Who crew went to Comic-Con in Toronto here in March, and Paul actually cosplayed as Hulk Hogan. So wrestling is another fandom there. And what was that like?
That was really bizarre because people...
Well, no, for who?
Well, for everyone involved. I mean, people were actually kind of cowering around me.
Yeah. Well, they were waiting for you to, you know...
I know.
...rip the shirt off.
But I...
Do it. Say the thing. Say the thing. Hulkamania. You rip the shirt off, and then you go, do it. Do your thing.
Oh, yeah.
You rip the shirt. Okay. Hey, guys, I know this is a podcast, and it's audio, but Paul is going to rip his shirt off. Go for it. Do your Hulk Hogan.
All right.
All right, ready? Okay, ready?
Hang on. Let me get my shirt. I don't... I'm. You know what? I think I'm actually going to rip this shirt off.
Okay, go for it. Yeah. All right. Do it. Oh my god. My mind just exploded.
It sounds like somebody was just violently ill.
Yeah.
Did you hear this shirt rip?
Did you get that?
I did.
There you go.
Tongue in cheek, obviously, but the, wrestling is hugely incorporated to a lot of cons down here in South Florida. For one reason or another, some of the con promoters down here are huge into wrestling. And, it's funny to go to a con down here and there's like comic book, you know, voice actor, comic book actor or comic book artist, sci-fi, legend. And then like Jerry the King Lawler or like Rowdy Piper. it's just fun. It's out of place.
Which one of these things is not like the other?
No, but like we said, you can be a geek about anything, right? You can be a geek about sports. You can be a geek about wrestling. I mean, you know, who's to say?
Yeah, I have a group of friends who are font geeks, actually, and they're into fonts.
Really?
Yeah. It's exciting as it sounds.
So like Times New Roman.
Serif or Sans Serif?
Sans Serif. So, yeah, they're all over that.
Oh, boy.
I'm a rebel. Lord. I'm sticking to my Comic Sans. So yeah, I actually, my kid, he likes to be the whole brainiac sort of thing. Even during high school, he was kind of very down on jocks and athletics. And I was like, dude, if you're a geek, you can't do that anymore. You have to be into everything. Mm-hmm. There are comic book fans with tattoos that are bigger than your head, man. I mean, you can't discriminate.
Yeah, you can't. I kind of long for the days though when geeks were just geeks and we didn't have to put up with those jocks, those jocular jocks.
Or the hipsters.
Hipsters, yeah. Moving in on our territory.
I think the hipsters is the worst invention of the modern era.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah.
I was a Shakespeare geek.
Really. You were a Shakespeare geek?
I was a Shakespeare geek.
Yeah.
And I had all of the play of Hamlet memorized. In fact, I still do.
No, you don't.
I do.
Prove it.
If you want it. Okay.
Yeah.
Act 1, scene 1.
Okay, go.
Look there. Bernardo, he. You come most carefully upon your hour. Get thee to bed, Francisco. For this relief, much thanks. 'Tis bitter cold and I am sick at heart. Have you had... Now, you can't tell. I'm not actually reading this.
No, he's not actually. That would be...
I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
What a rogue peasant slave am I.
I have to tell you,
but in a fiction and a dream of passion,
a Paul reciting Hamlet, is it Hamlet or Macbeth?
No, that don't say the word.
Oh, why not?
That is bad luck.
See, only a geek would know that.
You have to say
only a nerd would know
the Scottish play. That was from Hamlet, though. So.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I'm looking for the version of Hamlet. I think that would be
the Scottish play. The Muppet version.
Okay. Hulkamania!
That was impressive. No, and I agree about the hipsters. They're like the Borg. They just assimilate everything.
Like the Borg.
The pigs in space putting the ham in Hamlet.
Actually,
by the way, I'm giving a virtual golf clap because clapping into a microphone on a podcast is not a good thing for the listeners.
No.
I'm impressed with the Shakespeare.
The hipsters were wandering around Comic-Con, and I'm not really sure why they were there. They didn't really look very interested. They looked underfed, tired.
One thing I know, all of the gorgeous... I'd never been to a Comic-Con before, and I was really looking forward to seeing all of these scantily dressed women in these crazy outfits. And one thing I noticed is for every one of those women who are, like, dressed to the nines as some kind of comic book character, they have a hipster boyfriend with them.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every hipster boyfriend looked like he was on some kind of, like, a dog collar being let around. But they were, like, so out of place that it looked like they were bored out of their mind.
Cap.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of being a hipster. You can't look like you're impressed with anything because what you're into, everyone is already into. That was 10 minutes ago. You're into the next thing. You're just bored about being living in the present at the moment.
Yeah.
And you're trying to keep your mustache looking prim, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they get excited about beard products. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought a lot of hipsters were into, like,
they have funny mustaches in it. Like, they have beards, but not beards. They're like non-canon beards. They're beards, but they're not beards.
They
you
have
know
like
what
that,
about?
That upside down triangle under their lip.
Yeah.
With a mustache.
Yeah, and an ironic earring.
How's an earring ironic?
I was thinking the same thing.
You're a closet hipster.
No, I'm not. No. I don't even like font.
So, you know, speaking of cons, is that where you guys met and this project got started? Was that a convention or was it through some other geeky avenues?
No, neither actually. It was just, I've been friends for a long time with, our doctor, Andrew Chalmers, and also our series writer. And, we've done a number of, you know, short films and different things together. We worked on a Toronto tabloid for a while called the Toronto Special here in the city. And, Andrew and I, our main thing that we had in common was we're massive, massive Doctor Who fans. And, you know, all that we would do was talk about Doctor Who. And it got to the point where I actually found out that Andrew had actually started writing an episode of Doctor Who. So I had to read it. And, once I read it, I said, let's do this. And he's like, no, we can't do it. I'm like, yeah, we can do this. He's like, no. I'm like, Andrew, you can be the doctor. And he said, okay, yeah, we can do this. So that's when we started, doing Dark Journey, and then we recruited all of our great cast. We got Ricky, Kaylee's Forrest, Larissa Benfey, Ben Clifford, and my good friend Paul Mann, who is more of a Muppet fan than a Doctor Who fan, but a longtime friend of mine, Paul is, and he joined us on our Dark Journey, and we put it all together, the brilliant script that Andrew wrote, and we recorded in the smelly bedroom, as Ricky referred to it, which it was after all the actors were crammed in there. And we put the whole project together. We recorded over a weekend, and we got all of our dialogue in. And from that point on, it's just been a matter of doing all the post-production and working with a whole bunch of really great artists from around the world. We've got artists from the UK, from Australia, from Japan, from Canada, from the US, contributing really fantastic cover art for our project. And yeah, we're getting a really great response from it. So I think it's a really testament to what fans can do when they've all got an idea of something that they're passionate about and a story that they want to tell, which is what we want to do with Dark Journey.
We heard how Paul and how our Doctor Who actor got involved. How did you get involved, Ricky?
Well, it's nothing really exciting. I saw a casting call that they were looking for someone to get involved in the Doctor Who project, and I think at the time I just started going through and watching the new series. I was very late getting into the new stuff, and so at that time I was kind of gung-ho on Doctor Who, and I responded to that casting call and had an audition over the phone, and boom, I was in.
Yeah, and Ricky benefited from being the only other UK sounding guy in our cast as well. So we were quite lucky to get him. We're like, we are going to need people that sound like they're from, you know, England. So that was a definite prerequisite, although not the only reason, Ricky. It might have been the beard as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then just real quick, how was it to get into the head of Sherlock Holmes, especially on a Doctor Who episode?
Well, I think that the series, I think it plays to both strengths of both the Doctor and Sherlock. They're both very much alpha dogs and thrown into dangerous situations and, you know, they're detectives of their kind of time and superheroes of their own kind of genre. So I think putting them together, it could go either way, I think. You could, they could be so strong, such strong personalities that all they do is butt heads. But I think that the very smart thing that that Andrew did with the script was make it in a way that they actually complement each other and play off of each other. And there's a great, I think in the writing it's reflected, but I think also in the camaraderie, is that a word? Camaraderie between Andrew and our Sherlock Holmes. I think that it really plays out in a way that it sounds great. I think those two personalities too, that, like I said, there is the possibility for them to clash, but I think it really does, they really do gel, and our Sherlock Holmes, Roy Miranda, really brings something to the role that's kind of, it's more of a classic take on Sherlock Holmes than the modern stuff. It's interesting because I think some of the, like Sherlock Holmes is a really hot commodity, a hot property right now, but that's not really, not at all actually why we put him in the story. It just seemed like the right fit to have those two characters together. So our Sherlock Holmes is very much more based on the book Sherlock Holmes.
Well, that's the way I prefer it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I appreciated a little bit of the Robert Downey Jr. version was because he was an ass kicker, which he is in the books. Not so much with, you know, the movies before that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Sherlock Holmes, too, it's very wide open, as is Doctor Who, to bring your own take on it, you know what I mean, and base things off of the books, which there's a lot of material to draw on, and there's been so many interpretations. You can always make a fresh one of Sherlock Holmes. And the other great thing is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is dead, so he can't sue us. Just don't tell Disney, because I think they might be chomping at the bit for that property.
Well, I do know that they have a Sherlock-like character when they purchased the cross-gen comic franchise, properties. Yeah, the character was named Ruse, and it was based in a steampunky alternate world or planet. They never defined which one it was. So what other things are you guys working on these days?
Well, like I mentioned, there's, you know, the couple that I'm working on, I have worked on recently is a Discworld mod for Skyrim, which I understand is coming out in the next month or so. And a Star Wars audio drama called Fallen, by Drunken Fish Entertainment.
Very cool.
I also just narrated a My Little Pony book, but we won't talk about that.
That's big business these days.
Paul, Mike, what are you guys doing?
Well, actually, the next project that we have on tap is after the release of Dark Journey Series 2, which will be the end of May. We'll be running for the most of the summer, actually. We've got 8 episodes coming up this summer, which will, as you alluded to earlier, filling your Doctor Who drought over the summertime. But following up on that, we're actually working on a really cool project with both Ricky Paul and our series writer and Doctor Who star Andrew Chalmers. And it's a look, a behind-the-scenes look at audio dramas, but with a quirkier side, with a sort of satirical edge that I think fans will be very interested in. So more news to come on that as it develops.
Will Fozzie the Bear be making a cameo?
Paul?
I will be making the cameo.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Waka waka waka.
And where can we find you guys on the web, website, social media, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you can find AM Audio Media at amaudiomedia.com. You can also look us up on iTunes by looking up AM Audio Media. We are also on Stitcher, Player FM, and YouTube. We're everywhere. We're all over the place. Just Google Doctor Who Dark Journey, and we're there.
Awesome.
Oh, and we're also on Twitter. Our handle is at AM Audio Media. And we are on Facebook as well, and you can look us up, AM Audio Media.
And Ricky, do you have a website or Twitter, Facebook, anything like that you'd like to plug?
No, I just like to fly under the radar and just creep up when people aren't expecting me.
I don't blame you.
But you could probably get through to me via the AM Audio Media site too.
Excellent.
And Paul?
I do not exist anywhere on social media.
But you're on that site. What is it? Muppets.com?
I'm starting my own Muppets website, yes.
Muppets/Hulkamania.
Yeah.
Yeah. Website. I like that.
.org, actually.
.org, eh?
Yeah.
Nice. That's very nerdy. That's like a nerdy thing right there. .org.
Because it's a non-profit.
Yeah.
Kind of like my life.
All right, so is there anything anybody wants to add?
I don't think so. Ricky, anything you want to throw in there, buddy?
I'm good, man.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You guys were fun. Thanks.
Thank you, Excellent. Guys. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Good night.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
See you. All right, well, as we power down our TARDIS for the night, just always remember that you can go gonzo for us by rating and commenting on iTunes, or whatever podcatching software you have to catch our little Muppet show. Or you can always go green with a streaming solution like Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google+, and join the Nerdstravaganza HQ Facebook group.
Take a not-so-dark journey over to nerdstravaganza.com to check out all of our back episodes and other premium content. And of course, you know who we are, so search for Nerdstravaganza on YouTube and check out all of our videos. And again, if you'd like to send us an email, death threat or otherwise, send an email to nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with all of that said,
waka 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 waka!
Whatever you want. Are there so many puns about rainbows and what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions.
Ricky, jump in.
But only illusions.
Rainbows got nothing to hide. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and
me.
La-da-da-dee-da-da-doo.